47, we are well on our way through the book of Genesis, and here we are, chapter 47, and we'll start today in verse 13 about leaving a legacy, So let's pray together, and then we'll talk about it. Father, I thank you for the privilege it is to worship you together. Father, I just can't think of another place where adults and children together can sing, lifting up voices of praise, be filled with joy as we praise our great God. And so thank you that we can come together this morning to fellowship, to talk about ministry and missions and outreach, helping those with mental illness. Thank you that we can come together and at this time look at your holy word that you've given to us. And may it challenge us, may it convict us and help us and strengthen us by your Spirit. I pray if anyone's listening this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that they would repent of sin and look to Jesus who died for them, took the penalty of sin for them, and rose again to be their Lord and Savior, and today put their faith in you. Father, help us who do believe as Christians, help us, Lord, to follow you and to learn what you would have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I read this week about a man named Bill Doris. He was of the great state of Tennessee. He died just a few years ago in 2020, and he left $5 million to his dog. His dog's name is Lulu. The article said that Lulu was a border collie. Maybe. But when I look at that dog, Lulu looks just like our Australian Shepherd. I mean, looks just like her. In fact, I even had this just bad little thought about, could we switch our dog out with the $5 million dog? I know that would be wrong, and I should not have mentioned it. But when we talk about a person leaving a legacy, what we're talking about is the long-lasting impact of a person's life on the people who are left behind. That doesn't have to be a multi-million dollar fortune. Really, what's more important is that your life has made an impact on the people that are left behind. So to begin with, this leaving a legacy, I want to give you a short summary of chapter 47 and at verse 13. From verse 13 to 26, it tells how God answered Jacob's blessing of Pharaoh. Do you remember this? That Joseph has his family move to Egypt because there's a famine in the land. The people are suffering. But God had Joseph right where he was supposed to be. Even though Joseph suffered, he was elevated. He trusted God. God gave him wisdom. Joseph shows mercy to his brothers who were so mean to him, sold him as a slave. But Joseph shows mercy to them. He invites his whole family down to Egypt so they can live and escape the famine. Then he invites his dad, Jacob, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob comes in, he stands before Pharaoh, the great king of Egypt, and Jacob blesses him. And we see the results of that blessing as Joseph gave the people food from the storehouses. They brought their money. They brought their animals. They traded their land for more food. And really, the Bible tells us that all of Egypt now belonged to Pharaoh because Joseph had enough food to trade. And the people of Egypt said, we'll be your servants. We'll give you 20% of our crops that come in.
And the key verse is in verse 25. It says, and they, the people of Egypt, they said to Joseph, you have saved our lives. May it please my Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh. And maybe there's a quick principle here is surrendering everything and becoming servants of the one who saved you. Because that's what the people of Egypt, they came to Joseph. He saved their lives with that food, and they surrendered to be his servants. That's probably a good principle. Like in the New Testament, where the disciples leave their fishing boats, and they leave their nets, and they follow Jesus. Matthew, the tax collector, leaves his job of working for collecting taxes to follow Jesus. They gave up everything to follow him. We too are bought with a price, and so we are to live to the glory of God because we belong to him. Genesis 47, 27, it parallels Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember, that's Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, where God puts Adam and Eve in this beautiful place. Here, God settles the people of Israel in a fertile land, the land of Goshen. And he blesses them, and they multiply. He's fulfilling his covenant promises to Abraham. He's making that family of Abraham into a great nation. And he says, we see this truth. God gives us what he commands. Remember, he said, be fruitful and multiply. He said that to Adam and Eve. Here in Genesis 47, 27, the people of Israel were fruitful and multiplied. God, when he commands you something, he also gives you the power and the grace to do it. That's a great, we'll see more about that. 2 Peter says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God isn't going to call you to do something that he won't strengthen you to do. 47:28 to the end of the chapter shows Jacob's desire to be buried in the promised land. He tells his son Joseph, don't bury me here in Egypt. Take me back up to the promised land. Take me back up to Canaan where Abraham is buried and Isaac is buried. And it's a testimony of Jacob's faith. He says he's believing that the people of God will go back to Israel. Why? Because God promised that's where they would be. So even though they're down in Egypt, even though they're out of the promised land, Jacob believes they one day will be back in Israel, and that's where he wants to be buried. So he says, please take me back up there to be buried with my fathers. It's really a testimony of faith. He believes God's promises will be true. So Jacob has reached the end of his life, and he makes sure he leaves behind a godly legacy. And that's what I want to talk with you about for the 22 minutes about that we have left. Leaving a legacy. How does he do that? How does Jacob leave a legacy? So this is where we turn to chapter 48. He's at the end of his life. So number one, look back at what God has done. You're going to look back over your life and see what God has done. Verse one, after this, Joseph was told, behold, your father is ill. So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh means, I have forgotten my trouble. Joseph, though he was a slave, he was sold by his brothers. God blessed him. He struggled, but he got to this place that God had exalted him to. He has a son, and he says, I'm calling you Manasseh because I've forgotten my hurts. And then his second son was Ephraim, which means God has made me fruitful. These sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, are not little kids. By this time, they're in their late teens, early 20s, probably should have been in college, you know, or maybe working in a good job. But Manasseh and Ephraim, they come in with their dad to see their grandfather. And it was told to Jacob, your son Joseph has come to you. Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty, that is El Shaddai, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz, or Bethel, in the land of Canaan and blessed me. So we would go back to Genesis 28, Genesis 35. We'd see God blessing Jacob. And God said to me, verse 4, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. Now here's what's interesting. If you go back and read what God said to Jacob, God says to Jacob, be fruitful. But here, Jacob, as he looks back over his life and he thinks about what God had said, it's not just that God commanded him to be fruitful. God gave him that ability. God blessed him in that way. Jacob looks back and he sees how it was God who made his life fruitful. It's God who gets the glory. We see it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. He gives us the words to say to people, and he gives us the strength to serve. But when you speak for God, or you serve God in some way, you're helping some other person. You're helping someone with some finances. You're helping someone with the project at their house. Maybe you're just listening to someone, and you're doing it for God's glory. And he gets the glory. People say, oh, thank you so much. That was so helpful. And you say, well, thank God I was able to. Thank God I was able to help you. I want God to get all of this credit. And God told him, I will make of you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession. It's a promised land. God says, I'm promising this to you. Jacob, you're going to have a multitude of a family, and you're going to have this land. And Jacob looks back, and he believes this, even though he's in Egypt, right? He's not in the promised land. He's down in Egypt. But he looks back, and he says, God has been working in my life all this time. God has been working. I look back, and even through the hard things, did Jacob go through hard things? Yes. His brother wanted to kill him. No, that's because he lied and cheated. But his brother wanted to kill him. And then his father-in-law tricked him and deceived him. He went through struggles in his life, but he looks back and he says, God was blessing me. He believes that God's work was going on in his life. Verse 5, and now your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Okay, what's happening here? He's saying, Joseph, your two sons, my grandsons, your two sons are now my sons. I am bringing them in not just as grandsons, but as sons. They're going to be my sons, just like, who does he say? Reuben and Simeon. Reuben and Simeon were the first two born. They were the first two born. And he says, your sons, I'm bringing into our family as my own sons. They are going to share in the promises from God that my other children are sharing in. So, yes, they're your sons, but I'm bringing them in as my sons. It's here, think about this. Here he is blessing Joseph by saying, your two sons are being elevated to this. They're going to be tribes of Israel is what's going to happen. But notice that he flips their order. He does not call them Manasseh and Ephraim. He calls them Ephraim and Manasseh, even though Ephraim was the younger son. He says, verse 6, the children that you father after them shall be yours, but they, Ephraim and Manasseh, shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. So think about this. Joseph would get a portion, but here he's getting two portions. His sons are now elevated to have a double portion of blessing. So Joseph is being blessed by his father. Joseph gets two tribes. When they divide the land, it's divided into 12, two for Joseph's sons, and then remember the tribe of Levi. They do not get a portion of the land because they're serving in the temple, the tabernacle in the temple. So they do not get a portion of the land. Joseph's sons get the extra one. Verse 7, as for me, when I came from Padan, to my sorrow Rachel died. That's Joseph's mother. Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. It seems to me that he's honoring Rachel's memory, his wife's memory, and he's still showing faith in God that his people will one day go back there. Back where his wife is buried, back where his parents are buried, where he wants to be buried. Back to the promised land. And Joseph, your sons are going to inherit in that land with my other sons as God has promised. And so he's looking back. Jacob looks back at what God has done and what God has promised. Do we do that? Do you look back at your life and say, I want to tell you what God has done? What he's brought me through, where he's been faithful to me, where he's helped me. We have a little journal on our kitchen table. It's a little journal and has a pen loop in there. And the purpose of this journal is anyone in our family can write a praise in there. You just put the date and write a praise. And it might just be something like, thankful we got home, you know, safely through the snowy weather. It could be anything, but just a little note of praise. Guess what? It's not a very big book, and it's not filled up. And there's not very many pages with writing on it. Here it is. It's this nice-looking little journal book with a pen. And now we hardly notice that it's there, you know? When we put it there back at Christmas time, first part of the year, like, boy, this year, you know, we're going to write our praises down. And so you start out, you write a couple, and then you forget, all right? And things happen all the time that God is at work, and God blesses us, and God answers prayer, and all these things happen, and we forget to write it down, to try to make some kind of a reminder of what God has done. But leaving a legacy, a godly legacy, will be this. It will be being able to tell the next generation what God has done. You look back at what God has done. Second, how do you leave a godly legacy? Second, you're going to look around at what God is doing. It's not just in the past. We don't live in the past. What is God doing right now in our lives? So look here at verse 8. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" And one commentary writer says, okay, remember, his eyesight is bad. And also it's possible that maybe he hasn't seen these boys for a while. And you know how people grow, how young people grow. You'll say that too. Like our friends are visiting us from back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Our friends Matt and Heather are here. And so their kids, three of our kids are here with us. Aaliyah and Grayson and Zeke. And they're all taller now than the last time we saw them. Except Matt and Heather are about the same height, but their kids are taller. And so it's like, hey, who are these guys? You know, they're a lot taller. Maddie gets this too. Whenever we go back to Pennsylvania, people are like, well, we remember you when you were just this tall. She loves that. She loves to be reminded that she was just short and little one time. But anyway, who are these? Jacob says, the grandpa says. And Joseph said to his fathers, and listen to Joseph's words, they are my sons whom God has given me. You say, what is God doing right now in your life? I have my sons here. These two boys, God gave me these boys. You see the testimony of Joseph? He was sold, his brothers ripped that coat of many colors off him, threw him in a pit, sold him as a slave. He gets down to Egypt, they lie about him, he gets thrown in the dungeon, and he looks back and he says, God was in all of that. He was in my life. Yes, it was hard, but he was with me. And he says, look what God is doing. I have these sons with me that God gave me. You see how he gives God all of the credit, all the glory of what's happening in his life? Look around. These are my sons whom God has given me. And he said, bring them to me, please, that I may bless them. And I think here Jacob is saying, I'm going to bless them, meaning I'm going to call on God to bless them. Now, the eyes of Israel, that's Jacob's other name, right? He's Jacob, he's Israel, he's called both. His eyes were dim with age, probably cataracts, right? I mean, what did you do back then? You didn't go for this five-minute procedure that you can have now where they just, you know, peel that sticky layer off. However they do it, I'm not an eye doctor. But so here he is. He can't see very well. He's 130 years old, 140 years old. His eyes were dim, so he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them. That's that Middle Eastern kiss on the cheek. You know how they do both sides of the cheek? He kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also. Like father, like son, they glorify God for what he's doing. I never thought I'd see you again, Joseph. I thought a wild animal ate you. I thought you were killed back 20 years ago. But not only do I get to see you, I get to see your sons. And how is this possible? Because God has let me do it. Here's Jacob giving God the glory for where he is right now. He's here because God is working, and God has let him see his grandchildren. Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. So can you see this? Okay, let's just imagine, I guess, imagine that I'm the old Jacob. And Joseph wants to put his oldest son, Manasseh, under his dad's right hand. Like, this is the right hand. This will be the one that gets the first blessing. And then Ephraim, the younger one, he'll get the second blessing, but it'll still be pretty good. So Joseph tries to, you bless the oldest one first. You get the oldest one. Like, I'm the oldest son. I think that's natural, right? You just want to get the oldest one gets the blessing. The younger one gets whatever's left, okay? So that was the plan. And he brings his sons up to his father, Israel. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, the Bible tells us, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. This is very intentional what he is doing. It's almost like he says to Jacob, or to Joseph, I see what you did there. You tried to line your sons up to get the blessing the way that you want, the way that you would think, the oldest and the youngest. And then Jacob does a switcheroo, and he crosses his hands over, and he blesses the younger son with the first blessing. This should not surprise us at all. Because who was blessed, Cain or Abel? Who was blessed, Isaac or Ishmael? Because Ishmael was born first. Isaac. Esau or Jacob? Jacob. Rachel or Leah? Rachel was the one she was younger. She was the one who was chosen. And here we see God. This is what God does. He does what we don't expect. Crosses the hands. So you're going to bless the wrong son. No, that's not the wrong son. It's the right son. I'm doing what you don't expect. How do you leave a godly legacy? You look back at what God has done. You look around at what God is doing. This last week, there's a few of us guys. We usually go to Christopher's on Wednesday morning for breakfast, 9 o'clock. There's a men's group and a ladies group that meet there. Everyone's invited, if you can make it. Well, we said this last week, what if we go down to Flint and see Dan White? Have breakfast with him. Dan used to always come to breakfast when he was here, but he got cancer. He's down there. He's getting treatments. He's closer to his family. We said, what if we went down? So there's a group, there's five or six of us.
We went down to had breakfast with Dan. We wanted to be encouragement to Dan as he's going through his suffering. Guess what? We were encouraged. It's awesome to talk to Dan. He just trusts God with his life. I mean, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? But he's had surgeries and he's had chemo and this doesn't work and this makes him sick and all these things. And he says, I am just trusting it all to him. He doesn't know how much time he had. He doesn't know. None of us know. But he trusts God. He's not blaming God. He's not mad. Hey, why didn't you heal me? He's just trusting God and drinking coffee and eating eggs, you know. We left there. We were the ones that were encouraged. It's maybe not what you thought. We'd like to pray and hear that Dan is cancer-free and that's the end of it. He lives on to be, you know, 95 years old. But we don't know. God may cross things up. God may do what you don't expect. God may bless you in a way you never thought. Maybe you thought in your life, this would be what I'm good at. This is something that I will do. And God says, yeah, you are good at that, but I'm going to bless you doing this. You think, well, I didn't even know I could do that. How? Okay. And God will bless you the way he has planned. Just let him. Just let him bless you. Let him guide you and work in your life. What's he doing right now? What's he encouraging you with right now? Third, we're also going to look forward to what God has promised. I got to hurry. Verse 15, and he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, that was their spiritual life. They walked with God. The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. What a great statement. The God who has been my shepherd. You know, Jacob was a shepherd. He took care of sheep, Laban's sheep and goats. He took care of them for 20 years. He knows about being a shepherd. And Jacob says, God has been my shepherd. Verse 16, the angel, that's the angel of the Lord that we read about in Scripture in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord who has redeemed me from all evil. He set me free from the hardships that I've faced. This faithful, guiding, saving God, Jacob says, bless these boys. The God that I've known my whole life, I'm praying he blesses your sons, Joseph. And in them, let my name be carried on in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. See, God promised Abraham he would make his name great. Having a great name means you have a great reputation. You know how you get a great reputation? You serve a great God. You serve him, and people say, what a great God you're following. God blesses, God answers, God helps you when you're hurting. And Jacob says, I want these boys to take that name, a name of someone following God, and let them grow into a future multitude in the midst of the earth. That's part of the promise of God's people. There would be like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. When Joseph saw that his father crossed his hands, right, and laid his right hand on Ephraim, it displeased him. He took his father's hand. Have you ever tried to do this with God? Like, no, God, let me tell you how it should be. Sometimes our prayers can be that way. Lord, I know this is happening, but I really want you to do it this way. It's like we try to take God's hand and move it where we want it to be. He tells Jacob, no, you're blessing the wrong sons here. You got the wrong one. And Joseph said to his father, not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know my son, I know. He shall become a people and he shall be great, Manasseh. Nevertheless, his younger brother Ephraim shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day saying, by you Israel will pronounce blessings saying, God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. Here's the point, I believe. God blesses based on his grace, not anything we've done. It's not that, well, you're the oldest, you've achieved this, you've accomplished this, you're a blessed person. Nope. Blessings come by grace. Jacob was chosen, not Esau, because of God's grace to him. Here, Ephraim is being blessed over Manasseh by grace, not because of birth order. Anything we have from God is his grace. We don't earn it. We don't come in and say, well, my dad was a pastor, and his dad was a pastor, and his dad was a missionary, and so, yeah. No, what does that matter? It's all by his grace to you. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph in verse 21, behold, I am about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your fathers. He's looking to the future. He looks back at what God has done. He looks around at what God is doing. And he looks to the future. He says, God has made promises and I believe them. I believe he's going to bless these sons. I believe you're going to be up in the promised land that God is preparing for you. God will be with you. He says, moreover, I have given, this is the last verse of the chapter, I have given to you rather than to your brothers one mountain slope that I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and my bow. Whatever, that the Bible doesn't tell us about that battle, but whatever happened, he's saying, this is up in Israel, the land, and you're going to be there, and you're going to have it. It's already set aside for you. So in conclusion, thank you for your patience. Are you going to leave a godly legacy? I would say this, it's not too late to start. To look back at what God has done. To look around right now and see what God is doing. See his promises into the future. God wants you to leave a godly legacy. How will you do that? You'll do that by passing on a great view of God. Would you stand with me? A godly legacy is passing down a great view of God. Father, we thank you for your love for us and what a great and awesome, faithful God that you are. Lord, let us be like Jacob, to look back, look around, and look forward to what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do in our lives. We thank you for your faithfulness and goodness. Encourage us and strengthen us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.